G'day, Mick.
Why does that sound familiar?
Crocodile Dundee, my friend. I watched it last night.
Right. I love that movie. Now, there was a guy who knew his environment and lived well in his environment.
That's right. Instead of trying to change his world, he learned about it and embraced it and celebrated it.
That's such an indigenous way of thinking.
And so not a Western colonial way of thinking. Colonizers around the world always want to change things to how they are back where they came from, instead of embracing the beauty of where they are.
So one of the goals of this episode of Home on the Res is to inspire our young people to think about becoming an architect.
That's awesome. And we managed to find two Indigenous architects who are awesome role models. Alfred Waugh is a member of the Chipewyan of Fond du Lac First Nation in Saskatchewan.
He is the first Indigenous person to graduate from the University of British Columbia School of Architecture program. And our second interview is with Aladia Smoke from Lac Seul First Nation, which is one of the largest reserves in the Treaty 3 region in Northwest Ontario.
Aladia Smoke has been an architect since 2002 and has her own architecture firm called Smoke Architecture. She is also a master lecturer at Laurentian School of Architecture. I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
Me too. Well, let's start with Alfred Waugh. Alfred, thanks for joining me today. To start off, can you tell me why you decided to become an architect?
I was in University of Lethbridge, and I took one course called Urban and Regional Analysis with Professor Jan Kunis. And we were given an exercise to plan a community center in the prairies with a curling rink in it. And it was mainly just a planning exercise, and I went overboard and did all the three-dimensional sketches and tried to figure out what the building looked like. And he was the one who, so you ever thought about going into architecture, because you think three-dimensionally and visually, and you're quite articulate. And I started thinking about it, and, you know, where I come from in Yellowknife, where I grew up, a lot of my native cousins and so forth lived in social housing and so forth. And up, it was a mining town, Yellowknife, and it's beautiful country in some regards, but no, the way in which buildings were planted on that landscape always kind of bothered me. So I started thinking about it. I thought, well, this would be an interesting journey to try to change our built environment to be more respectful to the land.
So how would you explain Indigenous architecture?
I kind of look toward universals. I know that, you know, my mom went to residential school, and we have to, you know, bridge this gap between the time when people were extracted from their customary ways of living and were thrown in a program of a simulation led by the federal government. So I think Indigenous architecture is at this time is an effort for First Nations people across this country in their various different climatic zones and regional influences to define themselves as a people, you know, because they haven't been given that opportunity before. And for me, a lot of the values that come with Indigenous architecture and the stuff that I talk about in lectures is the difference between Indigenous architecture and other architecture is the emphasis on how does it represent people culturally and also placing nature at the center of the value system rather than man at the center of the value system, and that we should develop an architecture that is respectful of the land, is sustainable, and makes us aware of our environment and also aware of our culture is as well. And culture can be many different things. It could be the materials you use in the building. It could be the structure if you're looking at historical precedents. Like the out here, there's more of an established architecture typology or form with the big houses in that, whereas in the prairies, there's more of nomadic architecture like the teepee. But how do you take those historic forms and translate some ideas, whether it's the actual typology or form or the way they organize buildings, into a modern building, which is an abstraction of those historic ideas.
If you were to tell a young person why they should consider architecture as a profession, what would you say?
I would say that architecture is a very important part of our livelihood because the built environments that surround us have an effect on us. If you go into a building and it feels good, you might not be able to put your finger on it, but there's something about the way the space is laid out or maybe where the views are focused, or you feel welcoming. It's important as compared to something that's oppressive, where the light is dim, spaces are compressed, and you feel imprisoned like a residential school. And as a young Indigenous person, and you look at our communities and the fact that we're now having the chance to evolve and determine for ourselves what our communities are going to be like, we're at a juncture where we have all this opportunity to create communities that also serve our people and answer their needs, whether it be housing or community centers or municipal buildings. But we're at the beginning. It's an exciting time for our Aboriginal communities. It's exciting in the sense that there's this self-determination that is becoming, that's evolving, and we can determine how we shape our communities, as well as there's this opportunity for developing off-grid, self-sustained, environmentally sensitive design solutions for communities, which again addresses this larger issue, which could be used as a precedent for non-Indigenous communities.
Thanks for talking with me today, Alfred.
Great, Mick. You also got to talk with a woman architect who owns her own firm and is a master lecturer at Laurentian's School of Architecture.
That's right. I'll let her introduce herself.
So my Anishinaabe name means she's fast, and I'm White Wolf Clan from Laxwell First Nation.
We're really hoping that this episode of Home on the Res will make people appreciate how unique and wonderful Indigenous architecture is and how it's different from Western architecture. Can you talk about that?
Europe is a really big source of architectural precedent for much of the work that goes on and much of the built environment that's been created here in Canada. Another difference is that there's sort of an emphasis on very high capital expenditures, whereas our architectural typologies pre-contact were comparatively fairly low in capital expenditure, meaning almost anybody could build their own home, and that was not an economic burden. Oftentimes, people would cooperate to create the home or the building that was intended for people to meet in, using locally derived materials, so local labor, local materials, highly regional, and very attuned with the natural systems in place, having very low impacts on the environment. Another difference, I think, is that pre-contact architecture around here anyway was always owned by the women. So the women gathered the materials and they assembled the home, and then they would own the home, and they'd actually have a big amount to say what went on in that home and who got to live there, etc. So women really played a huge role, whereas when you look at sort of contemporary colonial architecture, it's all men. So that's a very big difference.
What's it like working with different Indigenous communities?
That always depends on the community that you're working with. One of the best ways to make sure that those teachings and those value systems get embedded in your work is to bring on elders very early in the process. So I always ask at the first couple of meetings I have to kick things off with a client, I always ask, is there an elder we could invite on to advise the process? And when we do manage to do that, the richness of expression that results is always so much greater, because they really take that big picture view. They're also very interwoven into the community social dynamics. So I find when I'm able to attract an elder to help and advise the project, we always get much better community engagement. So we always run a series of community meetings to try and get a sense of what activities are going to be performed and undertaken in the new facility and how those activities relate to each other. So it really has a big impact on the planning, so how you arrange the spaces in relationship with each other in the building, how you undertake the look of the building, the configuration of spaces, how you integrate daylight, connection to land, so the outside spaces, how they relate to the interior spaces, and the aesthetic quality, so the look of the building, the materials that we use, how the building looks when you approach it, does it sort of start to embrace you before you even get up to it? Does it look really inviting? Does it remind us of some things that we recognize from our own material culture, like beading or patterns or an animal or, a symbol that really means a lot to us? So I think the answer to that is, again, as multivarious as our communities are, because as Anishinaabe, we might have a different set of teachings looking at, say, the seven directions or the seven Meshomas teachings and embodying those in the building in a variety of ways. Whereas when you work with a different community, like I've worked with Naskapi of the Wawachikanach in Quebec, and they're a completely different culture than Anishinaabe, which is my heritage, and their value system is slightly different. So the soul of the building is a bit of a different soul, and the way that you integrate the building with the land and the teachings and the value system of that community, it varies depending what the priorities are for that community.
Thanks so much, Eladia. I really appreciate you sharing your story on Home on the Res.
I hope this episode of Home on the Res inspires our young women and men to think about becoming architects. That's it for this episode. You can find all 12 episodes of Home on the Res at www.fnnboa.ca. I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm McFavel. Thanks for listening.